This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about what's happening. We're going to talk about ICE, but this is really about the blue areas of the country and how they may just be lost. That we have to acknowledge something before we go into this, before we go into the bounties and the cartels, Los Angeles, things like that, that there are places in America that are now foreign countries. Maybe we can bring them back into America. Maybe we can't, but if you are in a completely blue area, it's a foreign country now. It's foreign, it's communist, it's hostile to everything good, it celebrates everything bad. It's not the United States of America anymore, and illegals even know that. Why do you think they all flock there? Which, of course, brings us to the Trump administration. It brings us to ICE. You know, people want to know, why is Donald Trump going into Chicago? Why is he going into New York, Houston, where I live? Why is he going into Los Angeles? He's going into these big urban blue hellholes because that's where the worst of the worst of the illegals, that's where they congregate, and that's where you're going to get the most of them because these are foreign countries who tell illegals, come on in, you're welcome here, you won't get in trouble, shoot, we'll pay you to be here. So if you have promised the American people that you're going to try to deport all these savages we've brought into the country, you have to go to where they are, and they're in Los Angeles. And here's how that's going.
LA County has declared a state of emergency over the immigration raids. The Board of Supervisors voted today. Board members say the raids are preventing people from going to work and forcing some businesses to close. The emergency allows the board to look at enacting an eviction moratorium and other protections for people impacted by the raids. And this news just coming into our newsroom will, of course, continue to follow it.
Just before we talk about anything else, just wrap your mind around that. ICE is going in there, arresting people here illegally and deporting them. That's it. And in every blue area in the United States of America, the Democrat politicians in that area are doing everything they can to stop them. The street animals, as you can see right there on the screen, are doing everything they can to stop them. That's a hostile foreign country. And speaking of hostile foreign countries, according to Kristi Noem, Mexican drug cartels are now placing bounties on the heads of ICE agents. You get so much if you kill one. You get so much if you take one alive. And they're working with these street animal groups like Antifa to get it done. America's radical left, they've joined forces with the drug cartels to kill ICE agents. That's quite a lot to take in. And now let's talk about the future. I mean, all these brave ICE agents and people signing up for ICE because the Trump administration is recruiting more. They need way more if you want to get to the deportation numbers you want. What's going to happen to you if you're an ICE agent? And let's say 2028, 2032, Governor Pritzker gets elected president.
The tables will turn someday. These people should recognize that maybe they're not going to get prosecuted today, although we're looking at doing that, but they may get prosecuted after the Trump administration for the things that they did because the statute of limitations won't have run.
Wrap your mind around where we are as a country. I know that's, look, it's a lot to take in, but when you really sit back and think about it, we have America's Democrat politicians, every one of them, working with America's street communists, working with the Mexican drug cartels to protect rapists and murderers from being deported while also putting bounties on the heads of those ICE agents while also promising future prosecutions for ICE agents who arrest and deport illegals. Now, let me say again, we have places in the United States of America that are no longer the United States of America. And this is where I get to the ugly part, because I hate saying this. I'd like to, you know, bring a solution if you're going to bring a problem. I don't know what we do about that. I don't even know if there's a historical precedent for having a country and then having a bunch of hostile city-states, essentially, inside of the country that actively work against the country. I'm not sure how to work that out, but I know, look, even if we get J.D. Vance for 8 years or whoever, even if we hold the White House, hold the House, hold the Senate, that's not going to save Chicago, L.A., New York. I don't know where we go from here. It's ugly. I am a chip freak. I know that there are people, there are pretzel people or people who like sweets. You know, you want to sit around and eat candy. Ever since I was a kid, all I wanted were chips. And now I'm 44 and I'm still addicted to chips. It's very clear that I'm going to eat chips till the day I die. The problem is all these chips you buy in the gas station will actually kill you. And so I needed something else. I heard about Massa chips from a friend. I was told only 3 ingredients, so they're so much better for you. So immediately I thought, they're going to be disgusting. They're going to be gross like all the other health food. Massa chips are my favorite chips. If everything was equal, I would still eat Massa chips. You don't feel all bloated and horrible after you're done because it's just 3 ingredients. No cancer-causing filth. Go eat chips guilt-free. May I recommend a little dab of hot sauce on there? They have all kinds of flavors. Go to massachips.com/JesseTV. Well, again, I know there's a lot of good, a lot of bad, but let's focus on something that is wonderful. We are officially at a net negative for immigration in this country for the first time in a long time. And I understand we've got about another 50 million, I mean, who knows how many, to get out. But right now the border is closed, the border is secured, and we're deporting people, and we are slowly getting our country back, and it's a good thing. Joining me now, Emin Blair, Senior Fellow at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, which is a wonderful organization, by the way, if you're not familiar. Also, former Border Patrol, Army. Emin, I'm happy, man.
Yeah, this is all good news. All the numbers are pointing in the right direction.
Emin, can you explain how it happened so fast? How was it so fast to go from a border that's wide open to one that is sealed up tight?
Yeah, sure. It's really, at the end of the day, following the rule of law. That's all we had to do. The law of expelling those that are here illegally, or actually pushing back those that are trying to come into our country or make incursions between the ports of entry and just simply not letting them in. Really, that's at the end of the day what really happened at our southern border. And so when you look at that and you look at that measurement of illegal apprehensions at our southern border, that's a good one, as well as the fentanyl seizures at our southern border. But something that's kind of that maybe your public or your audience needs to understand is, unfortunately, those are really one of the only two metrics we're really looking at in terms of whether the border is secure or not. I know that you served in the Marine Corps for quite some time, and if you were in a contingency operation overseas, how would you measure whether that border that you were trying to defend is secure? Now, unfortunately for us, because DHS is the lead agency, we measure it by terms of apprehensions, turnbacks, and gotaways, and that's what's codified in law. And so it's immigration metrics. And then we also have drug seizure metrics like fentanyl. But by all measures, unfortunately, the border is still operationally controlled by the Mexican cartels. They just have decided to move some of their smuggling operations outside of the southern border area of operations.
Okay, Emin, that is news to a lot of people. Please expand on that. If they're not crossing the border, where are they crossing?
Sure, great question. So, and I'm not talking specifically about illegal aliens, but a lot of the illegal aliens that are coming across now are those that don't want to get caught. So they're going to be in camouflage, just like what Breitbart puts out or your friend Brandon Darby. He puts out all the pictures of the illegal aliens in camouflage or wearing carpet shoes, and they're bypassing Border Patrol agents and other law enforcement along the border. And how they're doing that is they're utilizing surveillance and reconnaissance assets through drones. The Rio Grande Valley sector where I served recently had over 40,000 drone incursions. There are so many drones in the air that sometimes we can't even have air support inside the air. And so when you have that ability to see the entire operational environment, you can dictate to the smuggling organizations on the ground exactly where to go, what area law enforcement is currently not present, and you can bypass us. You can go on Twitter today and actually see smuggling organizations posting their drone videos of guiding illegal aliens inside the country. So also narcotics. All you have to do is look at the price of cocaine right now. It's actually decreased. And the reason being is the amount of cocaine inside the United States is unprecedented. The cartels have just shifted, since we're only looking at fentanyl seizures, the cartels have completely shifted their commodity. And that is going to be meth and cocaine. Imagine, like, back in the day, we used to talk about, like, the Caribbean. We would go after the Caribbean, where really the smuggling trade of cocaine was really prevalent in, like, Florida and along the coast. And then it shifted, when we shifted our priorities to that area, it shifted to Mexico. And then, so now, unfortunately, it's shifted back. And that's why you're seeing President Trump make those military attacks on Tren de Aragua and the gunboats or the drug boats in the Caribbean. And that is because the operations by the cartels, whether from Venezuela or Mexico, have shifted back in that region.
Ammon, can you tell me, because it never comes up, right? Everyone just looks south, but we have a very, very large border north. Is it a problem, or do we at least have that one fairly locked down?
A great question. In fact, I was just in Canada this week. I was speaking with the First Nations chief of police or of their peacekeepers. I was there with their Canadian law enforcement, as well as public officials, as well as their fentanyl and border czar. I'm unfortunately here to tell you and your audience that the cartels, like I said, they shift, and they shifted to Canada, as well as the Chinese triad. And since we have not placed a lot of our resources to include manpower, technology on our northern border, as well as not really assisting the First Nations or the Native American tribal areas in terms of understanding what is coming across and who's coming across, it is completely open game for the Mexican cartels to traffic both north and south. And that is also illegal aliens. Look, before when the Mexican cartels in the first parts of the Biden administration, they were flying illegal aliens as well as cartel members from Mexico City to Quebec. And then they started creating their own version of a pipeline or a Silk Road, have you, from that area back into the United States. So as it stands right now, that is a major hub. In the Canadian, the provinces in Canada, that's why they came down and reached out to us at Texas Public Policy Foundation. And they're asking, look, under the Biden administration, Texas, they came out on top. They figured out a way to push the federal government and try to secure its communities. Please come and help our communities when our federal government is not willing to look at the Mexican cartels, look at the CCP and their proxies, the triads, and any other criminal organizations. Please come and help us. And so as it stands now, that's what we're doing. We were in Canada this week. We're going to be continually working with our Canadian partners up there, whether that's the Mounties, the military, law enforcement services, as well as the private industry, actually secure the northern border.
Ammon, final question here. Donald Trump has said over and over again, you know, declared war on the cartels, eradicate the cartels. Do you get the impression we are going to start doing kinetic things inside Mexico?
Great question. Man, I really wish. The infantry soldier in me, and I know the Marine in you, really wants to go out and just completely lay waste to the Mexican cartels. We really do. But really, just like what happened in the first Trump administration, President Trump, instead of designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations in 2019, he backed off and instead created the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, that trade agreement for free trade. And so he backed off going after the cartels and then instead went after Maduro and then the Venezuelan cartels, right? The Cartel of the Suns and then trafficking coming out of Venezuela. You can see that now. A lot of the hits that are taking place in the Caribbean, that's not Mexican cartels, though they are connected either to CJNG and Sinaloa. Those are connected to Venezuela. And so what we're seeing is we're seeing more of a foreign diplomacy or diplomatic efforts against Mexico, whether that is decreasing the visas from their elected officials, whether that is the threat of tariffs. But at the end of the day, that's really not making a mark on the Mexican cartels. They're in 65 countries. Like I said, they're shifting their operations to Canada. The country of Poland just had to wipe out a massive meth lab cell right on the border of Poland and Germany. So the cartels are just shifting, still operating their command or headquarters inside of Mexico. So yes, we definitely do need kinetic action against the cartels, as well as all the other asymmetric warfare ways and means to go after them, whether that's foreign diplomacy or any other means. But do I see that? Unfortunately, no, because of that trade. We are dependent on Mexico for a lot of things, but especially food. Right now, Jesse, we can't even feed ourselves. If we were to cut off all of our foreign trade agreements and all of our imports, we could not even feed ourselves. We are dependent on the Mexican cartels, since they control agriculture in Mexico, to feed us. And so until that dependency comes away from Mexico and the cartels, it is going to be very difficult to come to the table in terms of, hey, we need you to link security and trade together. We need you to take care of the cartels, when they're like, well, you can't even feed yourselves.
Ammon, we'll talk again very soon, my friend. Thank you. You know what I think about sometimes? I think about the communist conquest of corporate America and how damaging it's been for this country. I remember after George Floyd died and all the animals were burning things down and throwing bricks and killing people, and it was just awful. And it wasn't just that. Corporations in the country sponsored it. Corporate sponsorship of communist street violence. It's part of what prompted me to switch to Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company. I don't want to fund Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile anymore because I don't feel like funding Black Lives Matter. You know what Pure Talk does when they give back? You know what they're doing right now? Finding rescue dogs, rescuing them, and pairing them with veterans struggling with PTSD. You're going to be on the same cell phone towers. Keep your cell phone, keep your number, support a company, a veteran-led company you can be proud of. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Switch today. All right, there's about 1,000 things going on in the news we need to get to tonight, and we only have an hour to get to it. So I wanted to first focus right here at home. I wanted to talk about what's happening right now with Letitia James and possibly John Brennan and others, because there's a dangerous thing happening. I'm not quite sure how we fix it, but I'll explain what it is in a moment. Letitia James, as you're well aware, got indicted for mortgage fraud. I'll explain a little more in a moment. Here she was talking about it.
This is nothing more than a continuation of the president's desperate weaponization of our justice system. He is forcing federal law enforcement agencies to do his bidding, all because I did my job as the New York State Attorney General. These charges are baseless, and the president's own public statements make clear that his only goal is political retribution at any cost.
Okay. We'll get to the charges themselves in a moment. Just hang with me here. I have oftentimes compared where we're at right now with America's communists, America's Democrats, to the story of Dr. Frankenstein and his monster. If you've never read the book, that's fine. I actually thought it was kind of boring. But either way, if you've never read the book or seen the movies, this guy, by the way, the monster's name was not Frankenstein. The doctor's name was Frankenstein. And he essentially thought that he could create human life, patch together a bunch of body parts, and create human life. Ends up catching a couple breaks. This thing comes to life, and it's big, and it's mean, and it's bad. And all of a sudden, he has created something that he doesn't have full control over anymore, and something that's terrible. Well, here's what has happened. And this has been 10 years in the making. We have to understand, it's actually probably a little older than that if you factor in Obama, but this is what has happened, and this is where we're at in the United States of America. For 10 years, we'll just stick with that number for now. For 10 years, the elite communists in our society, that would be Democrat politicians, members of the media, professors, these types, they have told the Democrat base over and over and over and over again that Donald Trump is the sum of all fears. That he, Nazi fascist, that he's all of these things, that he's the end of everything, authoritarian, this is it. Over and over and over again for 10 years. Listen, human beings, all of us, you and me and everyone else, we are all susceptible to propaganda. We are all affected by what goes into our eyes and what goes into our ears. It's human nature. But the Democrat is more of a herd animal anyway, less of a individual thinker, somebody who wants to be part of a herd. That person is 100 times as susceptible as you are to propaganda. So, 10 years, Nazi Hitler, Nazi Hitler, Nazi Hitler, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. 10 years. Here's what has happened. Now, doesn't matter, far extreme, moderate, if you are an American Democrat, you do believe that you are living somehow under some authoritarian regime that's Adolf Hitler. And by the way, don't argue with it. Don't talk about how they're crazy. I know they're crazy. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's genuinely what they believe. As a result of that, well, politicians, all politicians forever, not just in our country, forever, people who have to earn votes to get elected, they are subject to the will of the people. They have to do things the voters want or they lose power. If you're an elite communist, Letitia James is a great example, but we could use any of them. You have programmed your herd animal base for 10 years to believe that they are living underneath Adolf Hitler and that anything, everything is acceptable in stopping Adolf Hitler. Now, Democrats want results. Democrats demand results. That is, in large part, why Donald Trump's 4 years out of power after he was president, why there were so many of these ridiculous sham lawsuits and arrests and mugshots, because if you are a Democrat at any level now, any level, it doesn't matter if you're in the city council or running to be a United States senator or president. If you are a Democrat and you want to get elected, you know you need Democrat voters to vote for you, right? Of course, makes perfect sense. Democrat voters are demanding you have an answer for the Nazi. You have an answer for Donald Trump. Why did all these DAs, AGs, from Fannie Willis to Letitia James, why were they all so hell-bent on creating ridiculous charges in order to arrest and imprison Donald Trump? That's what Democrat voters demand. You can go look at every single poll out there. It shows the number one issue for Democrat voters with their politicians right now, number one on every single poll is, I want you to fight Trump even harder. You're not doing enough. Get Trump, get Trump, get Trump, get Trump. Which brings us, of course, to Letitia James. Why did she run on what she ran on? She ran on getting Trump. She campaigned on it, gave speeches on it. I'll get Trump. Why would she do that? That's what the voters demand. And then when she got elected, she chose to deliver for the people who put her in office. She even included photo ops. You remember that famous photo op of her sitting in court, smiling and smug as Donald Trump was getting raked over the coals in New York. She was responding to the will of her monster. She was responding to the will of the Democrat voter. And now that it's coming back on them, these communists are mortified.
I mean, this is something that everyone in America, or many people at least, if you're lucky enough to be able to buy a house in America, you deal with this, right? The federal government doesn't go after all of these people for doing this.
Okay, let's just clarify something here. That's just Casey Hunt, I don't know how to say her name. She actually interviewed me once a long time ago. She's just mortified that communists would be held to account for anything, so she's making up ridiculous lies about mortgage fraud. Maybe you're unaware of how this works. As someone who has had to move across the country multiple times, I am way too experienced at this. Let me explain. When you buy a new home, they will ask you, is this your primary residence, or is this something you're going to be renting out to other people? Why do they ask you that? Because if your home is going to be your primary residence, you are going to get different interest rates, different down payment requirements than if it is some secondary home you are renting out. So, if it's your primary residence, you have to say, and it's not as if it's a real head-scratching question, every mortgage application I've ever filled out, and I've filled out many, it couldn't be more clear, it couldn't be more black and white, and since I've never owned a second home and don't own a second home now, it was always very, very obvious, I have to fill out primary residence. It's not a, oh, whoops, my pen fell, no, it is a deliberate, deceptive act. And I've never done it in my life, and frankly, I've never even been tempted to do so. And it's not something everyone does, and the reason everyone doesn't do it is because it is so black and white. It is so cut and dry. Either you lied or you didn't. And contrary to what you're hearing on MSNBC, it is a big deal.
But look, this is serious. As you said, bank fraud carries a penalty of 30 years in prison. Not that a person convicted on a first offense would get that sentence, but it's an extremely serious use of the Justice Department to prosecute someone for what looks like a technical violation. And again, the ill-gotten gains alleged here, less than $19,000, under circumstances which we can all see are highly, highly questionable.
It's just $19,000 that... What's happening? Well, again, these people behaved like animals for 10 years. And now just the very thought that this is coming back on them, it's more than they can bear. It's why they're running to the camera every day, all day, complaining about the weaponization of the DOJ.
I don't know if we can trust what's coming out of the Department of Justice right now. And when you have an administration and individuals who are manipulating the justice system of America in that way, they best understand that this is not only about something that affects the individuals that they're targeting. This affects all of us who believe that, flawed though it may be, that a justice system is actually supposed to be blind in the way that it does its work, not targeting people because of who they are.
Let me say first, this week, this is a watershed moment in American history. Not since Watergate, Chris, have we seen a president weaponize the Justice Department to go after his political rivals.
They're not angry because the DOJ is going after Democrats who commit crimes. They're angry because they were told that Donald Trump had to be stopped at any cost, and he was never stopped. They're not even angry about all the malfeasance done by Tisha James and Jack Smith and Fannie Willis. It doesn't anger them at all. They're angry that Hitler is still there and hasn't been stopped yet. And what's more, this world of make-believe they have created in the minds of the Democrat voter, in the mind of Frankenstein's monster, continues to be reinforced by the elite communists who use language like this.
It is just such a hallmark of tyrannical, autocratic dictatorship societies that they use the prosecutorial department as a political weapon. It is a disgrace, and every American, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, moderate, people should be forcefully rising up against this, speaking out against it, and making it clear how inimical this is to what our democracy has been for, stood for, you know, more than two centuries.
I don't know where this goes, because right now there appears to be no mechanism in place to take the Democrat voter, not the politicians and media people, to take the Democrat voter, bring them out of the world of make-believe, and turn down the temperature. Everything just keeps turning it up. I don't know where we go from here. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Let me tell you about energy, feeling good all the time, feeling good in the morning when you wake up, feeling energized, ready to take on the day, at work, not sitting there staring at the clock, give me another cup of coffee. When you get home, don't you want to enjoy your family, your time to yourself? You want to go shooting, go for a walk? Get your T levels up. You can't walk through your life being low T and tired and depressed all the time. That's no way to live. We are drinking estrogen. It's in the birth control. We can't get it out of the water. It's in the we shower in estrogen. We have lost half of our testosterone in the last 50 years. That's societal extinction if we don't turn it around. Chalk is trying to turn it around with natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Just try it. You're 3 months away from feeling like a new person. Chalk.com/JesseTV.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President, for having us here. And, you know, not to sound like a broken record, but it needs to be said that Antifa is real. To be clear, political violence, sustained political violence that we're seeing in this country is not a both sides issue.
I can't believe Julio Rosas was allowed in the White House. Can't believe how good he did. Joining me now, my buddy Julio Rosas, national correspondent with The Blaze, United States Marine. Julio, you've come a long way from standing on some yellow footprints, getting screamed at, my friend, to hanging with the big man.
It was quite a surprise. I was literally coming back from Portland when I was invited, and you know, of course, I accepted, because this issue is something that I've been aware of and have seen firsthand for a long time, right? And a lot of people. Yeah. Just really want to not believe that this movement exists, and of course it does, right? And so when you have the opportunity to present your findings and present your experiences to not just the president, but also, you know, people who are watching in the press pool, you're going to say yes to that one.
Julio, walk me through what the point of it was. Was this just bringing in experts, like people like you who've been knee-deep with these street animals for years? What are they coming up with a plan? What did you get out of this?
Well, so there was a couple of reasons. One, it was just to lay out the facts of what all these different people have experienced about this group, right? And you know, when the president is there participating, there's a reason for that, right? And people are going to tune in a little bit more than if it's just some other member of his cabinet. I mean, this is the president. This guy's a busy guy. And so that was just the first thing. It was just to say that, yes, Antifa's real. It exists, and we're looking at it. That's what the administration was trying to say. And it was because, you know, the press pool is there. It's to kind of force the mainstream media to at least acknowledge that this is a thing, right? Now, of course, I would say that the mainstream coverage was to be expected, but it at least puts in people's mind that this is an ongoing issue. They're using the anti-ICE, you know, fever outrage to fuel themselves to try to achieve their goals. But it was also to reassure not just us, you know, people who have experienced them in some cases violently, but also to the voters that, yes, the administration is maintaining its pledge to go after not just the individual people that they happen to get at these riots, but also its support networks, which are very active right now. They've been active for a number of years.
Julio, can you talk about the level of support you think these people are getting? It's obvious to anyone who pays attention, this is not organic stuff. So there's some level of sophistication to it, certainly some level of funding and organization, but you have actually had to smell these people, which has to be brutal. What do you get from their level of sophistication?
Well, that's why I wear a gas mask, not just for the tear gas. but they do get support. I mean, I saw it in Chaz back in Seattle back in 2020. Most recently outside the facility, the ICE facility in Broadview, Illinois, which is outside Chicago, someone dropped off a whole bunch of large and small Mexican flags. I mean, that costs money. The support are in big and small ways. In Portland, outside the ICE facility there, they have a couple of tents with all these different supplies that are dropped off. And then the kind of the more, I would say, nefarious and more, you know, more expensive items are the bail funds. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest ways that they get support is just, you know, because obviously they're not going to be in jail for very long, or, you know, they're going to rarely receive any actual prison sentence. So if they do happen to get arrested, they can be back out relatively quickly because they have all these bail funds that they can access. And some of them are international. And that's why when President Trump was asking, well, are these guys a foreign terrorist organization? Have we designated that? We said no. And it probably should, because Antifa is just not unique to the United States, but they're very active in Europe, like Germany, France, in the UK. So that was kind of another thing that kind of came out of that, is like, you know, because Secretary Rubio walked in to give him the news about Hamas and the, you know, the historic peace deal. But also mixed into that, President Trump, you know, went to Rubio and said, hey, we should probably take a look at that as well, since that would fall under a kind of his domain. So I would say that, you know, it was a very productive meeting, right? And again, it just, when you're on the ground and stuff, you kind of forget that what you put out there is seen by, you know, a lot of people. And so it was just kind of validating to know that, you know, it was just validating to see that the hard work that gets put into this, because there's a lot that goes into these things in terms of time, energy, resources, and personal safety. It is worth it because there are people who are in a position to do something about it beyond just recording it, are taking note of it and want to follow through on action.
Yeah, that's got to feel good to see the fruits of your labor. Okay, so two things for this question. One, we heard Kash Patel talk about tracking down George Soros's connections and things like that to that. How many layers do you think there are between the billionaires who stroke the checks and the street animals who are pooping on themselves out in front of the ICE facility? And two, how many Mexican flags did you take?
I did take one as a memento, full disclosure. It was offered to me and I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to add, I take things, from, you know, I take rubber bullets and tear gas canisters and everything just as a memento. So yes, I did take one. But I always carry the American flag. That's always in my backpack when I'm at these things. But the more serious thing, I would say that there's a few layers. It's not super complicated, right? Because when you have things like, you know, Soros' network or any other of these like left-wing billionaires, they give them to these nonprofits, right? And the nonprofits then kind of disperse it to the networks to the activists that are on the street because it's local, right? I mean, they're very good at organizing at the local level, and so I wouldn't say, I mean, it's not that complicated once you start kind of peeling back those layers and to say that, you know, it's not probably 50 degrees removed. It's probably only about two or three if you're looking at it through that. But also, I would say that unfortunately, these people genuinely believe what they're espousing about promoting this anarcho-communism ideology that's kind of wrapped in with Antifa. It's not anti-fascist in the sense of like World War II veterans. I mean they would call those guys fascists for the beliefs that they held. So it's just nonsensical on its face. But because of how President Trump is actually carrying out his promises to try to carry out mass deportations, that alone gets people out in the streets. And that's what I told the president. I said, this issue isn't necessarily about just Antifa. we've seen seemingly ordinary people ramming ICE vehicles, ramming Border Patrol, attacking Border Patrol and ICE while they're out there. It's not people dressed up in Black Bloc. It's like just these people who have been extremely radicalized within this past year, because the mainstream media is so responsible with their reporting about all this. So that's kind of the bigger problem, because you don't need to be part of Antifa to just throw yourself in there into the mix to try to, you know, save these people from being kidnapped. And that's why I think it's going to be we're going to be in it for a while, because things might calm down a little bit in the country once it starts getting colder for this fall and winter. But I guarantee it's just going to be just like fighting season in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's going to start right back up again once the conditions are conducive to them to be out there for hours on end. So, this is going to be an issue for quite some time.
Julio, I know you've already seen it. Shoot, you might have been there, but this is Brandon Johnson in Chicago.
Our very democracy as we know it is under attack. And if there were ever a time for working people to unite around this country, this is that time. Look, I've started off as a public school teacher, organizing in communities to ensure that we protect the very fundamental rights of the access to education and housing and healthcare and transportation, good paying jobs. These are all of the things that we fought for after the Civil War. And now this president is literally attacking the sanctity of what this democracy is about, securing opportunities for every single person who wishes to call the city of Chicago or this country their home. That's what's under attack right now. But I'm grateful that there are organizers around the city of Chicago and throughout the country, as I have conversations with mayors, that are very clear and determined that we're going to defend this democracy, protect our humanity, and put an end to this tyrant.
Julio, my concern, it's not just for Chicago or Portland or anywhere else, is as the Trump administration goes into these places, they're not Washington, D.C., where the government controls it. It is hostile territory, and even the cops don't seem to be on our side.
Absolutely. It's insurrection, plain and simple, like an actual, real insurrection. It's a low level right now, but I mean, the fact that the Chicago police were ordered to not respond to a crowd forming on Border Patrol and ICE agents because of a agent-involved shooting, defensive shooting, I should note, that's a problem. I mean, at a minimum, they're supposed to be there for crowd control, and by the time that they were finally there, it was too late. The situation had gotten so out of control that Border Patrol had to use tear gas to clear everybody out because they were done with the investigation, the initial, you know, combing through of the scene. So this is being perpetuated by the Democratic Party, and they're saying it. They're openly saying it right now that if they get back into power in 2028, they're going to go after ICE. They're going to go after Border Patrol for the crime of enforcing immigration law that's been law for a number of years. Right? This isn't anything new. This is not putting people in concentration camps. This is not ethnic cleansing or any of this other nonsense. The border was open for 4 years. None of this would have happened. We would not be in this position now if the Biden-Harris administration purposefully opened the border and allowed millions of people from all over the world to come in. The American people said, no, we're not going to put up with that. We're going to go with President Trump this time around again because this needs to be fixed. So all of this is the Democrats' fault, and it's just a way to shift blame and just try to consolidate power as they always do, right? And they're using their street activists, their street radicals to achieve that, and try to say, well, no, oh, look at this, you know, repression that we're facing now from the federal government. It's like, yeah, because you're the ones encouraging it. This is your fault.
Julio, stay safe out there, my brother. Happy for you. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. Don Lemon's an idiot, and people always tell him about it.
Okay, crossing the border illegally is not a crime?
No, it's not a criminal act. Okay. It's a misdemeanor.
So why are they being sent back and saying that they're breaking the law?
That's the point.
Okay, as somebody that actually...
We don't know if they're breaking the law because they won't tell. There's no due process. Where's the evidence? That's the whole point. And if they are breaking the law, most people will say, okay, then they need to go if they're criminals. But if they're not... Why are they being rounded up and sent out, especially when he promised to deport the criminals, and now he's not doing that?
Yeah, I don't think we're going...
Misdemeanor is not a crime, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So misdemeanor is not a crime?
It's not a criminal act, no. If you get charged with a misdemeanor, that's not
so
a criminal act.
So why get charged at all, then, if it's not a criminal act?
because we have different levels of crime. Everything is not the same.
So it is crime.
It's not a crime. You're not breaking the law. I mean, you are breaking the law, but it's not a criminal act.
So it's breaking the law.
You're not breaking the law.
Is there a law?
There are rules that are processes that you should follow. Yeah, so you're breaking rules. You're breaking the rules, but you're not necessarily breaking a law.
Maybe just stay in the studio. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.